Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, back here at OMF. We're doing it live over here at Fenway Park. This hour being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. It's been a wild day. Alex Cora came in with his 2:30 regular get-together with us on Wednesday. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We talked about the team, talked about the issues. We talked about David Price and the Dennis Eckersley stuff and the fact that he actually talked with Price earlier
today. But at the same time, you know, if we're going to turn the page, we have to turn the page.
You talked to Eck about it?
No, I haven't. I don't see him that often. So, but I do feel that, you know, if it was 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago. It's not going to be a distraction. I really believe that. I know my clubhouse. I know how I do things in the clubhouse. So, you know, the only thing that we have to do is play baseball.
Are you going to address it with these two guys? Do you have to, or do you just move on and let it go?
I already talked to David, and I know where we stand, so that's the only thing I have to do.
So the catalyst of all of this was a piece that Chet Finn did for the Globe magazine. And it was, you know, a harmless piece pretty much. And it was going through Eck and all of the different stuff he's dealt with in his career and his life. And obviously there was a question in there and a little tiny comment. You can read that comment, Lou, that he had about the answer 2 years ago.
It was a long article that basically was a transcript of the MLB Network feature that did it on Eck.
Pretty much.
It was the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, that was Finn, but then Reamer. So
Let him read this. Because first, Chad Finn, in his article, talked about no love lost between these two. These are the quotes from Eckersley. I don't know how to deal with that, Eckersley said to Finn about the airplane verbal assault. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or the other. That was it.
And so that was part of Reamer's piece as well. He took that quote because, let's face it, when you read this entire piece on Dennis Eckersley, it is still the one that jumps out at you, what happened with him and Eck from 2 years ago. So what Reamer did is he put an article together, he put it out there, and guess what? David Price saw the tweet that was obviously promoting with a link to this article, and then he jumped into the fray.
The fact that he wanted to move on, and since then he's went on the radio and talked about it, done it again. In 2017, I addressed it, told you guys in front of the camera that I wish I'd have handled it differently. I did it again in 2018 in spring training on day one, said the same thing. We had a meeting set up in 2017 here at the field, got here early, an hour and a half, 2 hours after I get here. They come and tell me that he's not coming. And we had a meeting, he backed out. I was going to tell him, you know, I apologize. I didn't handle it the right way, and it continues to come up. There's no reason for it. Honestly, I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. It was cool. And one thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself. If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview. I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that. And to me, that is, that's all you need to know.
All right, hold it right there. Hold it right there, Ryan. It's amazing to me because he articulated his point of view at the beginning. He thought he was going to get the opportunity to move past it with Eckersley. So that was the original point. The original point is I thought we were going to meet. He didn't show up. He didn't want to do it. And I was going to get together with him. Then he goes on to praise him and praise this special that he saw and said it was cool.
Was he really praising him?
Yeah, well, he was.
Or was he being condescending?
He was setting it. He was setting up what the special was missing.
Yeah.
And that is the teammates or whatever. And then he just threw a complete
Low blow.
Low blow.
I do want to go back, though, because before we met with Cora, we were reading tweets, okay, from, so David Price was on Twitter.
He was reacting to the
Reamer thing.
And he responded
to the WEEI tweet about Reamer's article with a bunch of crying face emojis, like 8 of them. Other people joined in, had a comment, and then somebody brought the fact up. It's like, why the F is this story resurfacing? And David Price, okay, because he likes to add fuel to the fire and he has to get his opinion out there. He says, because Eck needs attention, exclamation point, exclamation point. I always wonder, one exclamation point is enough. If you have more than one exclamation point, what are you really trying to say?
You're trying to emphasize it twice as much.
But that's what one exclamation point is for.
One can do the job?
One does the job.
Thank you. I'll remember that, Professor.
Then he keeps going. Then he keeps going. Same as every broadcast. Ha, ha, ha. 8 pitches are thrown, and he's sitting there talking about something he did 30 years ago with zero mention of what's going on. And then, of course, Marcus Stroman jumps in, and he says, facts. I enjoy the broadcast on mute. LOL. We asked Cora about it. Because this seems to be, are you really? Did you talk to him? Did
you
say anything?
Ryan, I don't know if you replay that core that you just played, the first part of it before you asked if you talked to him.
No, ask
the first
before
part
that.
Of it.
Yes.
I talked to David this morning, how he feels about it, and we're going to keep it between ourselves. But at the same time, you know, if we're going to turn the page, we have to turn the page.
Stop it. If we're going to turn the page, we're going to turn the page. So what was that conversation about? If Alex feels like we've got to turn the page, and they have a conversation. Did Price turn the page?
No. Or he said we were going to keep it in-house.
No.
No, the conversation between the two of them, they were going to keep private. You know, him and Price.
Oh, see, I thought
if we're going to turn the page, we have to turn the page.
He didn't.
Did his player turn the page?
No. No, and the funny thing is, when Alex came in here...
Isn't that the theme of the team, too?
When Alex came in here...
They don't want to turn the page.
Well, there was something negative.
It's not working.
It's
not working well.
This was a negative, so you want to turn the page, but his player didn't turn the page.
But Alex was well aware of it when we brought it up at the start of the interview. We brought that up to him, and he was well aware of what was going on with all of the tweets and everything else. So usually what happens is guys, you know, managers, coaches, they'll sit there and play dumb. You know, Bill will sit there and probably know everything about it and say, no, I don't know nothing about it. No, we're on to San Diego or whatever. This guy clearly was aware of the tweets being out there, and he was willing to address it with us. But I agree with Lou. Whatever communication they had in that meeting, it's not the way it played out.
See,
the rest of the day, it was Price.
It's so funny because you know, Price knows that he's going to go out there and he's going to talk to the media, and he comes out. He already has an agenda. He has it mapped out in his head. He knows what he wants to get across. These are shots across the bow, multiple shots, passive aggressive shots,
but I would
direct shots.
See, I would understand that if Eck, you know, with Finn, took it to another level. You know, and really got into it. He basically just said, you know what, whatever. I don't want to talk to him. I don't think he wants to talk to me. I don't know what to say about it. And that was almost about it. And if Eck went on with Finn and just said, what do you think of David Price? And he gave his opinion of him. And he was just sort of like ripping him. You know what I mean? And he just was, you know, I think he's this. I think he's that. I think he's this. I don't like the guy individually. But he didn't take any shots. So this is why I got a problem, just because I felt like David Price came just over the top.
Talking about a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview.
So
I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches.
Whatever.
They can all vouch for me.
Yeah, if that's what the thing was all about. But Dan Shaughnessy reaches out, right? He says, he tweeted out, just spoke to Bruce Kornblatt, senior producer of the MLB The Eck documentary. He said, quote, I came away feeling ex-teammates all loved him. We got 100% cooperation from those we asked. Hurst, Fossey, Darling, McGuire, Lynn, Remy. We didn't ask many by design. This was supposed to be Eck on Eck. So it's not even like he's got all his facts straight. It just got personal. And he just went over the top, came off the top rope, and took swings.
Yeah. Unprovoked. In my opinion, unprovoked.
I think.
So if you were... So obviously Price was never over it. And he was looking for an excuse to say something, and he'd been holding on to it for a while. So it took the smallest, most innocent comment about an article for him to pop off, to feel like he was wronged. He was the victim. So David Price is the victim in all this? He's the one that looks foolish? So Price is picking on him. I mean, so Eck is picking on him? I mean, is that what we're saying here? Because I would say that the best case scenario, and that's what I was talking to Cora. I was like, "Is this you sure? This is what you want? You want Price going out there talking? Because Price doesn't know what the high road is. He doesn't know how to take the high road. You can get so much mileage out of taking the high road and just really letting it go. Because what he did was make a ginormous mountain out of a small, itty-bitty mole.
I would say this, and we tried to get Eckersley to talk about this at one point when we had him on the show. And he didn't really want to get into this whole situation with Price. And we had conversations with him down in spring, and they were off the record. And he still wouldn't talk about it. He still felt uncomfortable about sitting there. We were just standing around talking. It wasn't going anywhere. And what really happened? How do you feel? He did not want to get into it. He was really uncomfortable about dealing with it because he's got to broadcast Red Sox games here every night. And that's an issue with him. So that's why I think it's stupid when you're sitting there. He's just trying to get himself attention.
It looks even just more the lame opposite. Now where if you are going to start a fight, make sure the issue is fight worthy. And then I would also say make sure you can win. Do you think he's winning in this? Do you think David – or do you think he's just so spoiled and just so enabled that he just doesn't care?
Well, a lot of these guys are, as Lou pointed out earlier. They're never told no.
Yeah,
everything
but
is yes.
I've played with a lot of guys that have been given everything, and they don't act like this guy.
Yeah.
They don't. To me, this is not a fight you want to start. To me, this is something where you're going to lose. You've already lost. Even his main point was that he's trying to paint – Eckersley as a fraud. He's trying to paint Eckersley as this guy that everybody loves and everybody respects. She's a straight shooter, but he feels like everybody's missing it.
Okay.
They've been hoodwinked.
Okay.
Led astray.
So you don't think about Price's,
and he needs to prove him
okay,
wrong.
Think about Price's point
he's
of view.
He's going after the wrong guy.
Right. And that
That's
this,
all I'm
if
saying.
This were
Too
any
people like him.
If this were any other media member,
as much as
David Price has not been beloved in this town, okay? Got a little bit of love last year in the postseason, but not really beloved in this town. If it were any other media member, he would be just in great shape.
Sure.
The fact that he pointed it at Eckersley is backfiring on him, and it's driving him crazy because he won the World Series for you last year. He did what he was supposed to do.
He had the high ground.
He got everybody a ring. And now you're still not backing him? You're letting this guy go, you know, take shots at me? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's driving
him crazy.
You people love this guy, Eckersley.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one that won a World Series. Why haven't you fallen in love with me yet? You know, why do you still love him? That's what it sounds like. That's what it feels like to me. He's just wondering where the love is, and why do you love this guy?
He throws three pitches in the time it takes David Price to throw one.
See, that's the cut right there.
That kills him.
That
Doesn't
is the
it?
Cut.
It's accurate.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
He drives
him crazy.
Is it wrong?
But he feels
accurate.
I can guarantee you. Okay, that Price feels like that comment was uncalled for.
Right.
Why do you need to say
on
that?
Our broadcast?
That's
on
his
our
job.
Broadcast.
Why do you need to dig on me when you're talking about somebody else? Like, what do I have to do with this? So you should, and that's from April. This is the beginning of the season. So I do feel like that he was harboring a grudge, and he was waiting for his opportunity to say something.
But he's not alone. A lot of players on professional teams think that the home broadcast should kiss their ass and they shouldn't say anything negative. Now, we will find out tonight, okay, on Nesson. We will find out on WEEI because our guy's on tonight. Let's see how much they talk about this story on both Nesson and on our own WEEI.
Are you challenging me right now?
What's that again?
Are you challenging me right now?
Don't I owe you $100?
Are you
want to do
out?
A double or nothing?
Are you
Should
calling
we do a double
me
or
out right now? So far, Soler
just already,
bid on both.
Double or nothing?
I've already earned my money back. But would you say...
Do you think Joe... Hold on. Do you think Joe Castiglione's going to feel comfortable talking about this tonight?
No.
Okay.
No, listen, I'm
why does it take
trouble?
You 2 seconds to answer?
No, I don't think anyone would feel comfortable.
What about Dale? Dale's on the call with you?
Yeah, Dale
Dale's got
bring
a show.
It up. But you don't think... I mean, Obi, Remy... I mean, do they bring Bookie it up?
Blookie.
So does it? So I don't know. How does Dave O'Brien handle it? Because I mean, it's uncomfortable for a lot of people. You're on the broadcast.
That's what Price and other athletes, they have a problem. And I'm not just this is not just baseball. Any sport, they feel that the home
does
broadcast.
Dave O'Brien say, Jerry, you were teammates with Dennis Eckersley. Why weren't you on the MLB Network thing? Was he? I don't even know. I mean, that's what I'm
can't
saying.
Remember.
So, well, what was Eck like as a teammate? Will that come up? I'm just saying. I know. Yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's the broadcast. It'd be uncomfortable in anyone.
It's your best pitcher right now. Let's face it, David Price is the best pitcher on his team. You're in a crisis situation where you might not make the postseason, and he's going at one of your color commentators? It's got to be on the broadcast tonight.
The fact that it just looks disingenuous or fake because of the examples that he's using. The reason why Eck is a fraud, everybody, I'm gonna teach you something right now. You guys think he's cool. He isn't. There's not one teammate that would vouch for him. Me, and this is why you should love me, in parentheses, because my guys would vouch for me. My coaches in college, in high school, they would sit there and they would talk about what a great teammate
I am. Probably telling the truth.
Nobody said that.
We've heard that.
Or says that
but
about
Eck. That's
not
Eck. Even true.
That's my point.
That's not
it's
even
not
true.
No, factually
every,
correct.
Every ex-teammate
no, but
head on there speaks very highly. Again, he and Rick Manning are still very good friends. And the guy stole his wife.
Unbelievable.
They were best friends.
Do you ever think of
Cleveland.
Doing that? Stealing a fellow teammate?
And they're still good.
Wife,
no. Like Archie,
never happened.
Blue, do you ever think of
no? But like Rick is still like, and when I was in Cleveland, Rick was still there. Everybody just calls him Archie. Because he's like the base running coordinator in spring training, and he's on the broadcast. So he's on the field as a coach in spring training. He's still on the broadcast. Saw him a couple weeks back, whenever the hell Cleveland was in town. I think Eck was probably calling a game. They still talk. They're still good friends. Because Eck was just like, hey, what can you do? You know, I'm sure at first he was pissed about it, but hey, two people fell in love.
I don't think
I mean, he even talked about it on the Eck, on the thing on MLB Network.
It was tough.
I didn't handle it that well.
Those people are like your family. You love these guys. But it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I don't know what would have happened if they didn't train me.
Because he was about to learn something shocking from two of the most important people in his life.
Rick Manning was my best friend. He played center field. And my wife and I, we were like, you know, the three amigos, man. We were tight. And my wife fell in love with him. And she told me she wasn't in love with me anymore. And it was devastating. I had a little girl, Mandy, that was 2 years old, floored me.
Bam! I never heard
of
that. Wait, so they had a kid together.
Yeah.
So this guy, Archie, is helping raise
around.
His daughter.
He was the stepfather of my daughter.
No, by my point, but he... stepdaughter. Okay.
He's a stepfather of his daughter. His best friend.
Whatever, man.
She had no idea. She thought...
Hold on.
I'm surprised that Price doesn't know this, Jeff, because he could have used that today.
Yeah, and do you know that his best friend knew that he was such trash that he stole his wife? His own wife knew. I mean, that is, I think, the delusion that goes on inside David Price. Okay, what kind? I'm looking for ammunition. Why doesn't he bring that up?
Well, see, that's the whole problem, too. I remember the comments about, you know, doesn't understand how hard this game is, or forgot about it, and that was just a ridiculous comment.
Stop.
Forget about the game. I think Eck knows how hard life is.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, he was a stud coming out as a young kid, you know, arrogant in Cleveland, got his you know what kicked in,
yeah.
You know, for a few years, and then became a great closer, and now he's a Hall of Famer, you know, battled alcoholism, I mean, everything. Lost his wife to his best friend.
This needs to be a Hallmark movie.
No, they're still kidding me.
That's why the documentary is great.
I mean, talk about a guy that's willing and able to turn the other cheek. I mean, doesn't he embody that?
That's the ultimate truth.
I mean, the fact is that, like, the guy, okay, fine, whatever, we're all adults here. So he says, you know what, now, and I remember, okay, and I just have this thing called Time Hop, and it brings up pictures. I want to say that a year ago today, we talked to Eckersley. Because I just had a picture from a golf tournament that you and I were at, and Lou was not there,
right.
And Eck was there.
Must have been All-Star Week.
And we,
I think it was.
It was.
That week off.
Right? Yeah. And we talked to him, and it was just like, whatever. I don't care. What do you care? No big deal. Moving on. Water under the bridge. Do I like him? You know, not really. But who cares if I like him or not? I don't eat dinner with him. We don't talk. I'm not married. He can't steal my wife. I mean, so what are we going to do here?
He said that.
But. No, I'm adding that. But the fact is that the guy embodies turn the other cheek.
So Luke brought up, seriously,
Kirk Gibson. I mean, that didn't just stuff like that doesn't ruin people's career. You know, what was the guy, the one that Dave Henderson hit the home run off of, killed himself?
Angels. Yeah, the Angels pitcher. That was his name.
But you know what I mean? Like, just dealt with that.
So
one of the greatest moments in sports history, he was on the wrong end of it.
So doesn't this show how unbelievably pathetic David Price is?
He doesn't know
that he would use this as ammunition to somehow right a wrong in some personal vendetta that he had against freaking Dennis Eckersley? Really, what are we doing here?
But, you know, the way he was talking about his teammates and his coaches, you know, Luce brought that up. Other people have told me the exact same thing in here at Fenway, that the teammates love him, that he's a really good teammate. Now, from the outside, I don't think the public sees that. And maybe that pisses him off. So he's trying to pound his chest, basically telling everybody, as I'm having my little war here with Dennis Eckersley, all my teammates love me. And he's just kind of manufacturing
this
and making it up.
The type of guy he is.
Right, right. He doesn't have
it. You guys can't see it.
No, but this is the type of guy he is. So all you need to know, like, just add it, about him. You know nothing about this guy. You know nothing about him, obviously.
He's basing his opinion.
But I think we know a lot more about David.
Oh, I was going to say, he just exposed himself.
Yeah.
So all those cards that you're holding, gonzo. Gone. You don't hold them anymore. Dunsky with the cards.
Let me get to the phone calls. Here's Jimmy's calling from Florida. Hey, Jim.
To hold that Trump card.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jim.
A long-time listener. Sorry for Callahan. First, I'd like to say, David Price.
We remember him well. There's a memorial service that we're having for him next week.
What day is that?
Yeah, I'm still in shock. I can't believe about David Price. This whole thing about Lima bringing this whole thing up again. Putting it where? Because Price is playing his game. He's listening to the show, and he's doing his tweets. And that's all he's doing. He's playing his little video game, and he's doing his tweets, and he's listening to you guys. He listens to you guys. He listens to everything.
Well, he's on Twitter. The story was put on Twitter. But Reamer didn't start this thing.
I think they both should have met, and he should have apologized. And this thing should have been long gone and over with a long time ago. And Eckersley, you know, sometimes the older veterans just really tough to deal with. But sometimes the young guys, these guys are really just tough to deal with. But I do agree, Price started the whole thing by saying what he said about what X said on the broadcast. You know, I mean, you should have never attacked him on the airplane for it. But this is just small stuff, but they're bringing it up on the day that David's supposed to pitch. You put it out there like today, like in the middle of this turmoil.
The story?
He's pitching tonight.
Let me ask you a question. Who put the story out?
Shoot. I know there was an article was out, but Rima tweeted it out to show people the article.
Who didn't?
Broadcast it even further.
Who didn't? Go to any website. I mean, go to the Globe, go to the Herald, go to NBC Sports
Boston.
Yeah, but
they don't.
If anybody was doing their job, they would. What? No, I'm just saying, if anybody was doing news outlets, if they're doing their job, they're writing about an article. I mean, that's.
That's what we do every single day.
What are we talking about?
Okay, he's gone. Well, people don't know where stuff originates.
No, he thinks Reamer started this. Finn would love that because that would take. He didn't want to start the bleep storm
because he's the one that started the
anus canter.
Right. Come on. I mean, it's ridiculous. By the way, you want to see something that was more bizarre in baseball? And Lou probably remembers this one more bizarre. Than ex-wife being taken by Rick Manning.
Kind of bizarre.
Fritz Peterson and Mike Kekich.
Who?
Huh?
Yeah. So old Yankee pitchers.
Oh jeez. Where's the music?
They swapped wives and swapped families in the middle of the season.
What?
Yes, and actually Matt Damon was going to do a movie about this.
What year was this?
It was in the 70s, I believe, late 70s.
They swapped wives?
Swapped and families.
In the middle of the season?
Yeah, I think they ended up getting traded. 44 years ago, it says here. Yeah.
Wait.
And they were best friends. They were all best friends. So the two guys were best friends,
like
Kekich and Peterson, and the two wives were. No. Ooh. But they had secret. They were doing secret behind
closed
doors.
So like it's like a Lou and I switch family. I would only have one kid and he would have seven?
Screw that.
Who wins in that one?
So Damon was going to do it as a movie, I believe, and he had it as a project. It was green-lighted, and they were doing it, and out of nowhere, he dropped the project because I think the whole thing was just too freaky. It was just too bizarre.
Oh, make it R.
Yeah. they dropped out of it.
There are a million stories like that, but I had never heard that story about Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah, it was on
the movie was going to be called The Trade. It was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. It was going to be called The Trade. And in the middle of doing this, they stopped the project.
Wait, so
like something bizarre must have happened.
Trying to figure out who's going to play.
Yes, and I believe the two guys were like technical directors
That's the first time you heard it because the documentary. I thought we talked about it. I don't know, maybe
he was the stepfather of my daughter.
The first time I heard about it was in 04 when I was in camp with Cleveland. And Archie's out there as a coach, Rick Manning. And that was when the first time I heard it. I forget who it was, but they're like, you know the connection between he and Eck? And I was like, no. Because I think Eck's name came up maybe from 98. I don't know what it was. We were talking. I forget who the hell told me. That's when I first heard it. And I remember being like, Jesus. I remember walking the next day and seeing Archie. And I'm like, God, just like looking at him. You know, I didn't say anything to him. But
my
I was
wife
like,
fell in love with him.
Weird. That's just weird.
You watch, Price will bring this up. He'll find
out. I'm surprised he did it. And look, he can't even keep his wife. What? Is that who you like? Is that the type of guy you guys respect? I mean, I feel like that's what's going on in his head. This lame, weird, like, mentality. Like, why don't you love me like you do Egg?
He can't help himself.
If anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, really I won't need to go on that interview.
This is kind of like what we talked about before. Like, Price, if he went after Shaughnessy or Drellick or anybody, right? Like, people would have had his back.
Yes.
But Eckersley is just too well-liked. I mean, he's too good at his job. I mean, everybody knows that. So we had through a little poll out there.
Yeah, poll time.
And it was, so whose side are you on in this David Price, Dennis Eckersley thing? Now, this is... You see, it's interesting because I don't know what the numbers were if we were to do this before David Price won a World Series. You know, it's 2017 if we had done this.
Higher for Eck.
Much higher for Eck. But still, it's still at 59% Eck, 10% Price, and then 32 say both are wrong, let it go.
It was like 77 to 33.
That's where Corrado's
supposed to go. But it's basically 60 to 10 Eckersley over Price.
Yeah,
he was a World Series hero. And they still don't have his back. And this would piss him off even more.
And I think it's very because pulled. Most guys who kind of get to that level usually get a pass for almost everything.
Can I just say something real quick? I don't know. Did we round up in these percentages? Is this Chris Curtis math? Because I'm just saying 59, 10, and 32 don't exactly add up to 100. I mean,
Twitter doing that?
I'm just letting you know.
That's I would all. Blame Twitter.com. I screenshotted that. So it's directly from the OMF. Oh,
okay. Maybe
Twitter
didn't update.
All right. Okay. I'm just wondering. 77 to 33.
It's like Sal math.
Yeah, whatever. It's all works.
Twitter's changing their whole format and stuff like that. It looks different.
Oh, yeah. The little guy is not happy about it.
It's crazy. It's stupid. What the hell they do? I just figured it out. Now they're screwing around with me. All right. 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. We are live over here at Fenway Park. This is a. Been the big story here today. Never expected it as we started the day, but that's what we've got right now. We'll get back to the phone calls and your reaction coming up next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Is that what disappoints you most anymore?
That's absolutely what disappoints me the most. You know, he wants to move on, but he continues to go on the radio or do interviews about it. If you want to move on, move on. We're two grown men. We can meet. It's not going to happen. I yelled at you. I'm sure everybody in here has been yelled at. It was unfortunate that it happened. I wanted to tell him that face to face, and he chose not to show up. So that was that.
David Price talking about Dennis Eckersley, and he's probably right. They probably should have settled this 2 years ago, even if they got pissed off at each other and started yelling and whatever. At least you bring it to some conclusion. But he's wrong when he says that Eckersley is going out of his way to go on radio shows and talk about it. Trust me, we've attempted to do it. We wanted to get him to talk about it.
He didn't want to talk
and he
about
didn't
it.
Want to talk about it. He wanted to
going
avoid it.
Out of his way. So that
it.
Means
even off the record, by the way, even privately, he does not want to talk about it.
The only thing accurately, that David Price said that was accurate was that he wanted to meet with him and apologize.
Yeah,
and Eck didn't want to.
Well, that's on Eck.
That's on Eck.
Yeah,
and that's his decision. And at that point, you're like, okay, whatever.
All right.
I don't care about you. You don't care about me. Whatever. You pitch, I call the game.
You got your Doppler out here right now?
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
It is dark right now. It's like it's midnight here at Fenway Park.
Severe thunderstorm warning. And we're going to have a lot of rain. 100% rain and humidity. 100%
from humidity we get. But
well, no,
six to win.
When's it coming in? Give me the time.
Give me a minute.
I want a minute.
Hold on, wait a second.
That's what you told me. It'll rain in the next five minutes.
And your kids die.
For
too.
How long though? Because does that mean I have socks talk with?
So
Wolf
you
Lemon
have?
For about
you, yes,
hours?
You do. So so rain and humidity, 100%. So 100% rain at six.
Like
good
five,
six to eight. It's going to rain.
Good egg price,
though. Six to eight, you're going to get a heavy dose of rain.
So we got a 1 hour and 15.
And we're not talking, Lou, we're not talking about a little light, little drizzle. We're talking about by the time Glenn and I have to leave to get to our cars,
see the lightning?
Yeah. We are going to get dumped on.
This is like going swimming with sharks. Let's go and hang out in the street, hold up something metal.
Yeah, see what the odds are of us getting electrocuted.
Yeah, I like that.
Wow, I think that'll work.
Wow, it's getting good.
You know what? I know, not to just change subjects again, but
what are we going to talk about?
You know, hold on, no. Talk about killer whales.
Okay.
You know, we talk about great white sharks. Yeah, it's another squirrel moment. So, great white sharks, as dangerous as they are, the biggest, baddest fish out there, that's a mammal, really, would be a killer whale.
Yeah, we need more.
Have you ever seen footage of killer whales attacking great white sharks?
Can we get them in the bay?
They're insane.
You're not getting them on the shore.
They're like a young biker gang.
They're not coming into the beach.
I've seen them spotted once in a while out there by Wellfleet or whatever, P-Town.
Yeah, but it's a Northwest thing. I used to see them all the time.
Yeah, but they're not coming into the beach, so you don't have to worry about it. And I think if
you ever seen killer whales attack a seal like from the water?
But if a killer whale came in, I think I would recognize it and I would have plenty of time to get my ass out of the water, right?
I don't know.
Oh, please.
I don't know.
You'd have it.
So there was some basketball news today.
It's a baby.
There was. Actually, the Celtics had a press conference today to welcome Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter.
Enes or Enes?
It's Enes.
It is officially Enes.
I think I know that.
He's my new favorite player.
It's not Enes.
He is my new favorite player.
He is great, ain't he?
Oh, good.
He is my new favorite. I didn't say he was my favorite defensive player.
So this is the quote that got a few people startled today. When Danny Ainge, because I think we all thought the plan was going to be Kyrie Irving, and then you go out and you make a trade to get Anthony Davis. And so this was kind of interesting what Danny had to say as to how the plan played in. And then Wick Grosbeck talking about the two new players.
Our plan A was Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter. And we're very fortunate that they chose the Boston Celtics. And very excited about what they bring in many facets of the game, but also as people. And who they are is just as important as what they are on the court and what they represent.
Wick, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just to welcome these two great people of high character who chose the Celtics for the tradition and pride and for the fans. And I look forward to success with them on and off the court and appreciate you guys being here.
Did you get the theme right there? First of all, a lot of great people, a lot of good people,
is,
a lot of character people.
I was right. 5 minutes.
Just to welcome these two great people.
And I'm looking forward to what we can do off the court. Okay.
Well, no, did you? What I heard was this was plan A.
Yeah, it's a little deceiving.
He didn't speak enough.
Because he actually said after the draft, but then he did the plan A.
Our plan A was Kemba Walker.
No.
Well, it's plan A once you learn that Kyrie's out, that Al is gone, and you say, okay, what can we do? Now, I would truly believe him that plan A was to get Kemba Walker in here once you lost Kyrie Irving.
Oh, absolutely. Makes
and then what
sense.
Kind of money, what kind of player do I need? There's a few bigs that are out there. Okay, Enes Kanter is a guy that I think would go well. Okay, so I get how that's plan A, but we all know what plan A
was. But he had to know that both of those guys were out. So he had to know that Al was out as well because he needed the money to be able to go out there and get Kemba. He couldn't do it just with Kyrie leaving. So he had to know that both of those guys were out there. So what I'm saying is that was not plan A.
It was
plan A after you knew that both Kyrie and Al were gone. They were out. You made it within the 5 minutes.
Right. Oh, my God.
I told you it was going to open up.
It is. These people.
These guys are just
sprinting down the streets.
Yeah, that'll be you and me in a few minutes.
Sprinting down the streets.
So, and the other thing was
I want to order an Uber ride.
To get to our car?
Foria, are you actually going to give Glenn a ride to his car this time? You're going to splash him with a puddle as you drive by?
No, I splash him in the puddle. With a puddle.
Glenn had a walking boot and he just pull water.
You can obviously tell that there was an obvious theme here. I guess maybe
good, great, wonderful character people.
Yeah,
that's the theme.
High
now.
Character, hardworking. Right. I'm never going to put anybody on blast. Not going to yell and scream. Going to get the best out of my players. That was the Kemba Walker theme. Because, and the Enes Kanter.
Ennis.
Damn, Ennis. I just want to say Enes.
That's okay. You
I just want to say Enes. But Ennis. Ennis. Ennis?
Ennis.
Ennis
Kanter. Like Dennis Ennis Kanter.
Yeah, okay. I was calling him Ennis.
Ennis.
Yeah, Ennis Kanter. He was all full of jokes. And he hits, because he, I don't know, Ryan, do you have it with his comments on the number he was wearing? Because that was, because he's wearing number 11.
Oh, I like it.
Do you remember who number 11 used to be?
I do. Was that?
It was Kyrie.
Kyrie's going to be up in the rafters.
Yeah, one day it's going to be up in the rafters, and Ennis Kanter took it upon himself to kind of throw some shade at our boy Kyrie Irving.
Why did you pick number 11?
Well, it was my old jersey number, by the way, number 11. And I want to be the reason that no one else will. I have to say it.
So you guys laughed at it. You thought it was funny.
Good. It was funny.
Good. And so, and I can tell you this, just looking at his history, because you know I'm a history buff, I like to look at history. Ennis Kanter is going to say all of the right things, and for the first 30, 40 days, people are going to absolutely love him. They go, oh, can we get some more Ennis Kanter quotes or whatever? In the end, Kemba Walker is going to be a guy that will say very little. He will never get on anybody's case. He will never say anything negative. He'll score lots of points, and everybody will still love him, even if the team is not winning games, because that's what happened in Charlotte. Ennis Kanter, people here will turn on him like you can't imagine. One, because you will watch him try to defend bigs in big games and sit there and say, he's a turnstile. What's he doing? You know, and he loves Twitter. He loves social media. He drove those New York Knicks fans absolutely crazy. So, they couldn't stand him.
So the jokes are going to get tired.
Tired.
I want to be doing this. No one else.
And he won't be able.
Because he can't deliver.
All right, start covering somebody, will you?
Yeah, we get it. You're right. Funny. Okay,
he can't deliver.
It's like Chris Sale. No, it's like Chris Sale taking accountability for everything. And we don't care anymore. Just pitch better.
So enjoy the Ennis.
Win a home game.
Enjoy the Ennis Kanter jokes while you can. Enjoy them all. Because he was funny today, right? He was funny. And even the accent, right? You like the accent, right?
That's kind of cute. But you know what, though? That can carry a lot of weight.
Ennis Kanter.
If you like the accent, player. No, if you like the player, if you like the personality, we've seen this before.
You won't like him because your wings will do fine. Your point guard will do fine. The big hole in your lineup will be bigs trying to defend. That is going to be a major hole in Brad Stevens' team. And so you're going to point the finger at him. You will. He's the guy.
Well, what Chris,
and you'll be calling for Taco Fall to come down from Portland, Maine. To play.
Well, what Chris Sales taught us, as long as you are accountable and you talk about getting better, then you can suck all day long. That's all that matters.
It's a great example. He's got a little bit of David Price in him, and that he does like to talk and he does like to take shots. For an example, he took shots last year at the coach and at the team with the Knicks because he was benched. Because he couldn't stop anybody. So they used the second string guy, and then they used the kid there, Mitchell Robinson, the third string. And he bitched when the game was over because he couldn't understand why Mitchell Robinson was playing and he was sitting on the bench.
Well, you're sitting on the bench
because you can't stop anybody. How do you think that will go when he starts doing that and complaining and not blaming, taking any accountability for his own bad play? Yeah.
We have ways of sending you back to Turkey. Your ass will be back to Turkey.
We know that can't happen.
Yeah, you just say, hey, we're going to Oakland. We're going to L.A. It's a long flight. Yeah, go to sleep. Go to sleep. You're going to wake up and be in Turkey.
Apparently, he's meeting with...
all right, Ennis, you lead us.
Yeah, see you, buddy.
Lead us off the plane.
Apparently, he's meeting with Ed Markey next week because he still has to figure out a way to get to Toronto. I guess that's an issue.
He won't be going to
That's not that big of a game.
No. You play a couple of those a year.
Yeah,
just pass on them.
No big deal.
And then so the Celtics are going to be your tough, no nonsense, don't say anything, hard working, blue collar, scrappy team.
Good guys, everybody, great
character. Yeah, a bunch of great high character guys. Do all the right things. Say all the right. Bring their lunch.
You know what it is?
Their lunch pail guys.
It's a 2013 Red Sox cleanse after 2012. We're going to go high character.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm not predicting a championship like they won the World Series, but high character. We're going to like our team again.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
Well, there's nothing wrong
with our team again, which I agree with because nobody liked that team last year.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, Gilroy
and they.
This is a great day for Celtics basketball.
And they were clearly taking shots. Everybody was taking a few shots at Kyrie today, which is fine.
So was Kemba.
Yes, which is fine.
Especially him, which is
that's fine.
It's like he said, "Listen, okay, I have to make sure everybody knows that I'm going to be that no nonsense, you know, high character, the little engine that could warrior." Isaiah Thomas, you guys remember him? You loved him. right? I'm not going to yell at anybody. I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm going to be a great teammate. That's my goal.
Well, that's all well
and I don't do a lot of talking either.
That's all well and good, but I'll quote something from Lou Maloney earlier in the program. It's all about wins. So in the end, if you're a cute little team and everybody likes you and you've got great character and you're saying all the right things and you're winning 40 games, who's going to be happy? Who's going to be feeling good about it? Right. Nobody is. So if you're going to be better and you think that Kyrie Irving was the problem with the team, I don't know why Al wasn't brought up. At all, we'll see. Because they were talking about
Al has a pass.
Well, no, they were talking about the character, and we're all going to be good guys right now. I thought Al was one of the best guys, wasn't he? A great character guy.
I think they're focusing on Kyrie and maybe Rozier.
Okay,
that's all.
All right,
right.
So you better be better than that team last year, right? You got to be better.
You know, even if they don't win as many games or go as far in the playoffs, as long as they don't have all the just the chatter and the gossip and the rumors. They will be a more enjoyable team to watch. Just because they'll be respected more than last year's team, easily.
Well, because now the biggest thing is expectations.
That's another thing.
Yeah. Last year you look at that just wasted talent. So those expectations. This year, you don't have those expectations.
I was surprised.
I think they're still going to be a good team, but you don't think they're going to win the Eastern Conference.
Well, that's it. Last year you thought they were a shoe-in to win the East.
So what you saw was no LeBron. You off.
Right. And then you thought maybe they could compete and take Golden State to six games or whatever. So the bar was way up here, and they didn't get to it. So you're right. If you lowered the bar down here and they get to that lower bar,
I'm just watching basketball. I always thought it was weird.
Yeah, I like championship contenders. Yeah, that's my problem.
I like something. I want to be rewarded at the end. Because if you're not going to be rewarded, you're just watching basketball with
good
no
character.
Upside.
This is good character.
Hard
you
workers.
Can't get rewarded by good character.
No, I great can't learn character. No life
grit,
lessons.
Grit guys.
I want
guys.
That for my high school and my Pop Warner teams.
I'm surprised. I think the over-under, the expectations are higher than I thought they were going to be from Vegas. 48.5.
Well, they won last year.
49
last
year.
That's about right. I think
48.5. Is the
so
over-under.
Just overachieving. So this will be an overachieving team just because.
Well, you're looking for
some
guys.
If it's 48.5, I think they're going to have trouble getting 48.
But the only way they 49. Get there is if they overachieve.
They have to go to 49.
Well, you're looking
to go
at, Hayward's going to come back healthy. Maybe. Physically, yes. Mentally, we'll see. More from Jason Tatum. More from Jaylen Brown. So I think that's your upside.
Your bench is a lot weaker.
Yep, and you still got a good point guard.
And you're defensively weak at the 4 and 5 spot. I mean, really weak.
Yeah.
You may be as weak
but
as any team in the league.
You got personality
at those spots. You got personality.
You got personality.
I don't think they're going to have great personality. I think they're going to be
Enes Kanter's your personality.
Enes.
Calling him Enes.
Enes.
Mama called him Enes. I'm going to call him Enes.
I'm calling him Enes.
Enes. It's called Enes.
Yeah.
So the rain stopped.
Now for a little drizzle. You want me to give you another update?
Little thing. Yeah. What do I got? Get? Do I have his game?
How long is
this game tonight? Meet Joe and Dale.
How long is it? You got to talk here for
what
Sox
should we,
talk.
What should we talk about? Sox talk.
I would talk about David Price and Eckersley.
It's only light rain. Can baseball players? Will they melt in this little light rain right here?
Well, it depends. If there's another beast coming, then they're gonna have problems.
Or you can talk
at
about
8 o'clock. You're gonna get another somewhat beast.
All right, so there'll be slight delay. You're gonna put the tarp.
Is this gonna be one of those things where Lou bitches and complains tomorrow because he's here till like 1 a.m.
It's an afternoon game tomorrow.
I know.
And then
they're going to try and get this game in. We're going to be here early.
So you're telling me
he wanted to do this. I'm not going to sit here and make
excuses. So is there a window to start at 7 and then a beast coming at 8? Because I love that kind of stuff.
No, there isn't a 7. There isn't a hole.
It's too bad.
Sorry.
Too bad.
So this is going to
continue. You should go home.
No, I like the hole because I like the hole. I like the idea of maybe an opener and saving E-Rod for after the rain.
Well, that's a smart move.
So you don't burn him for an inning.
That could be bad if you start at 7. E-Rod comes out, gives you 2 innings, and then you have to wait around for an hour?
You don't have enough pitching to understand that.
Nope.
I don't know, man.
Go Colton Brewer start
the
game.
The key is, are they going to get tomorrow's game?
Start Josh Taylor.
So if you get it, I thought you told me it wasn't going to rain tomorrow.
I know, but a new update.
Oh, Jesus. That's this app you just told me to get, too.
It says, no, it's the next 24 hours, high 82, low 67, rain until tomorrow afternoon.
The worst. I was telling him, we're here tomorrow. And
I was dead on with when it was going to start raining, by the way.
5 minutes ago, you told me no rain tomorrow.
What are the changes? What are we going to do? What do they say about New England? If you don't like the weather, wait 10 minutes, it'll change. I'm giving you, my name is Dallas Rains. My weather name.
He's the worst with that app. He's the absolute
He's handsome
worst.
Like a weatherman. He's just not bright like one.
What are you talking about? He's perfect.
So if you don't want to talk about Eck and you don't want to talk about the whole situation.
You spent $4 on that app.
You could talk about
should be a lot of positive.
The next 2 weeks are it for this team, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I think the next 2 weeks are going to determine whether this team is going to make
the
postseason or not.
5 games left, you know, with this little cute teams in Baltimore. Then you've got nine more before the deadline. So yeah, you're 14 more games at
Yankees,
the deadline. You're,
Yankees
what,
and Rays.
4 back right now.
You are 4 in the loss column.
Yeah, and 3 in the loss column, a couple other teams. So, I mean, listen, 14 games. I mean, you got to take care of business here. I mean, who knows where that could go with New York and Tampa. I mean, you know, if you can hold serve and find yourself getting through the next few weeks, you know, 2-3 games out, great. But if you lose ground and you're 6-7,
then
going into the All-Star break,
then you start
taking phone calls. I mean, the deadline, right? You start taking uncomfortable phone calls and start listening to people.
July 30th, you may have to if you're 6 or 7 games out of a second wild card with a mixture of 4 teams. You may have
Phone calls. I wouldn't be surprised, and there'll be some uproar, you know, in the media, because everybody talks, agents, whatever, national guys, that there's some big names being shopped. Or however they word it, talked about taking calls on. Because if you're Dave Dombrowski, given the schedule the week prior, the 9 games prior to the deadline, you may have to change course. And you can't get caught, you know, on July 30th going, oh my God, we just lost 4 straight. Where it's 8 games out. You know, you have to make those phone calls now. Or in the next couple of weeks.
Isn't that unbelievable? You look and it really comes down to
and
the
Mookie
next 2 weeks.
And Mookie is one of them.
Yep.
I never thought I'd say that, but because I never thought they'd be out of it. Like, you know, 3 or 4 games, no big deal. 8? Well, let's just see how the next few weeks.
I think trading Mookie, though, at the trading deadline is very difficult to do, Lou. It really is. When you get to the next off season, and then you have the opportunity to sit down with him to make a substantial offer, and then if he doesn't go for it, then you sit there and say to yourself, we got to move on. We can't risk losing him and getting nothing in return. But if you're doing it at the trading deadline, you really don't have that opportunity. So you get
more because you get a team that gets him for a couple of chances in the postseason than you do of just one and then possibly walking. So you could get more in return. Your scenario of putting out a big contract in front of him, that's what, $35 million for 8-10 years? I'm not so sure that's the best way for this organization to go. To be honest with you, I mean, $35 million, where they are financially, I feel like the last 2 years, or at least this year, they're sort of just up against it. They were up against it last year. They made some small moves that worked. I think it's time to get some financial flexibility with Porcello gone, with Sandoval's contract off the books, with $13.5 million coming off the books at first base. You know, you're talking about $80 million or so that you could save, and you could... You can still put a good team together next year.
The only way you do it with Betts is if you're convinced of what you just said, that you're not going to spend that type of money. So why not do it now when we can get more than wait in the offseason? But here's the other one. You better be sure you're going to get J.D. Martinez or some facsimile back.
No, you need
return.
J.D.
Can't let both of those guys go.
You need J.D.
Right.
Devers,
your
is,
lineup
guy
becomes,
very
Devers
well
is your guy.
Could make Mookie expensive.
Xander's been great, and he signed a deal and obviously is comfortable with it and playing with a lot of confidence. All right, go do your job. We expect real confidence. Controversy on the broadcast.
Debate.
Tonight, right? Debate. Good debate. Strong debate. Get Joe's true feelings on this whole Eckersley and Price stuff. All right, we've got last call. It's coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show's been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier.
All brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule a free pickup, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or carsforkids.com. I told you this yesterday. These athletes that think they're really smart, that are really either stupid or putting us on, are pissing me off. Uh-oh. You know, the Area 51 guys and the Kyrie Irving and the Earth is flat. Stop it. You know it's not flat, and if you don't, then you're a complete dope. So our old friend Jacoby Brissett, remember him?
Yes,
quarterback, backup quarterback now with the Colts. He's on Pardon My Take, and he's doing the same thing. His Twitter was hacked, and here it is.
What's going on with your Twitter account right now? We got to go through these questions first.
I think my Twitter was hacked. That's where all these questions are coming from. I guess that's what everybody blames it on.
It was hacked by Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
So, no, but he's actually kidding about that, though.
Because kidding about he's, that. But get this.
He's throwing out a bunch of, I don't know, would you call them observations?
Stupid. So he's talking about, they asked him, what shape is the sky?
Yeah, that's funny. One of my, so I'm in this group chat. It's called the Finer Things Club, so I have to shout them out. It's three other dudes. One name's Jack, Josh, and Travis. And we just bounce these dumbass ideas off each other's head. And, you know, Josh texted me that this morning, and I was sitting there thinking about it, and I just asked.
Whatever enclosure that it's in, right? It's like a gas. Is it a circle?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I still have yet to get an answer. Everybody keeps saying it's flat or it's flat.
The sky like is flat. Shape. I like that. The Earth's not flat. The sky is.
Yeah, the sky's flat.
I'm telling you, I have no patience for these guys anymore. They're dopes. They're complete dopes.
Yeah, you know, but there's a bunch of them though. But
there's
you actually are allowing yourself to get worked up over this, and you shouldn't.
There's science out there. We know things now.
I think they
know. This is not the 1700s. We know all of this stuff.
I know, but do you know what shape the sky is?
They all put me on.
What shape is the sky?
Science is an open field. It's infinity. What are you talking about?
Is it a square?
It's a gas.
Oh, you're so smart.
And of course, he was confused when the other day when he was talking about, you know, around the sun. Why is it so cold in space if the sun is out
there? Yeah.
I wonder where the sky actually begins. Does it begin up in the sky?
Let me ask you this. Why is it suddenly warm in the summertime and cold in the wintertime?
Again,
what do you think, buddy?
Literally that old guy that goes, these guys.
Get off my lawn!
Here's the one you'll like, Glenn. Jacoby Brissett said, at which point does it change from going up the street to down the street?
Just shut up. Just, you know what?
Get
shut up
my lawn.
And back up Andrew Luck. Just,
you know what,
back
him here's up. Another one. So in Charlotte, in most cities, you go, hey, let's go downtown. They don't have that. They have uptown.
Yeah, some towns do that.
No, I mean, some towns. Yeah. That's the only town I know of that goes uptown instead of downtown, even though uptown is literally downtown.
Okay. So you know what I like? I like brilliance. I like brilliance with numbers and percentages, and leave it to our guy, Wiggy, to set us straight with percentages.
But you said you had it at 50%. I have it more at like 95%. That
95% is the kiss of death, though. Anytime anybody reports that something's 95% likely to happen, it never happens.
Well, then let's call
it 94.
All right, 94%, because like you said, I think he's going to get that itch. The biggest question that everybody wants to know is when. And I had said, I think either this year, but definitely by next year.
So hold on.
We're missing some parts of that. 95%. It's coming back this year. But if not this year, definitely 100% next year.
Does he not understand that if he uses up his 95% this year and it doesn't happen, he's only left with 5% for next year.
So 95% chance that it doesn't happen. So that was cracking me up when I heard
it. You said you had 50%. I have it more at like 95%.
They're talking about 95% this year.
It's the percentage of Gronk coming back. It's Mike Florio with Wiggy in the morning, and obviously Florio was not having his percentage battle.
But you said you had it at 50%. I have it more at like 95%.
So that's what Florio did. He threw the 40% out the other day, and it's his source that's giving the 40%.
It's not him. He had it more. He had it at 50.
He had it more. Yeah, 50. What's the big deal?
Ooh, so you move up 10%. 10%. Oh, wow.
Is that really? 10%, then.
Well, so it's not my number. It's my source's number. My number would be higher, frankly. I would be slightly north of 50 because I think once Gronk sees the train rolling without him, he's going to realize how much he misses it. He's not going to miss the offseason program. He's not going to miss the preseason. He's not going to miss training camp. But once the games start being played and he sees them on TV and he's reading about what his teammates are doing and he's seeing highlights, he's going to get that itch, I think. The question is, does he scratch it?
Well, you said you had it at 50%. I have it more at like 95%.
I think Florio just moved it out because he was pissed at Mark
North
James.
Of
he
50.
He wanted nothing to do
so
with
north
Mark
of 50
James
would be 53%.
Whatever. It's all a.
He's not coming back.
So here's the deal. We're back here tomorrow. We're back here tomorrow. Maybe. We're on after the game.
Maybe
tomorrow after the game.
So I have Friday off. I just feel, I am praying for it right
off.
Now.
You're stupid.
I'm praying for
how
it.
How do you not look at the
down.
Schedule and look at the calendar?
I
and
miss
say,
this part.
Take an extra day.
I'm going to take an extra day for an hour and a half of work.
95%.
Who's pitching tomorrow? Tomorrow's
Sale. Chris Sale.
Ooh,
tomorrow.
So it's going to be a quick
game.
All
right, enjoy the game. We'll be back tomorrow after the game. Goodbye.
It's over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.